Have you ever heard a strange noise in the middle of the night?
Hello?
Ever seen something you couldn't quite explain?
What's that?
Ever been visited by a loved one in a dream?
What are you?
Psychic mediums Katie Manning and Michelle Lyons-Polito talk about it all. Welcome to the Psychic on the Scene podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Psychic on the Scene. And I'm Katie Manning, psychic medium. And with me, as always, our wonderful friend, producer, and co-host, D. Scott.
Hello.
And my other wonderful friend and co-host, psychic medium, Michelle Lyons-Polito.
Hey, everyone.
And we have a special guest on tonight, a friend to myself and Michelle, Cindy. And I'm going to have Michelle intro Cindy.
Tonight we have with us Cindy Howell, who I had the pleasure of meeting again on Saturday. We did a wonderful class together out at Willow Tree Wisdom. So Cindy she's a Reiki master, and she makes jewelry. Am I saying that right? You're wrapping jewelry. Yeah. And so Barb set this up between the two of us. And so Cindy walked us through making our own pendulums.
Oh, awesome.
Quartz and sterling silver. And then I did my dowsing level one class. And I have to tell you, you know me, I don't feel like I'm artistic, but she was able to teach me this beautiful quartz crystal. And I found that making something with my own hands, it was so powerful.
Right. Yay. Well, welcome, Cindy. Yeah. I'm so excited.
Yay. Thank you.
Amazing.
So excited to be here. Thank you so much.
So, Cindy, what's the name of the business first?
The name of the business is The Spiral Connection.
Beautiful. Yes. And how did you get started on this path?
Oh, gosh.
With both Reiki and the jewelry? Were you always kind of interested in this, or did it just kind of happen upon you?
No, I was always the weird little girl that had rocks in her pockets.
Right? Join the club.
I was telling Michelle that my mom, when I was little, I had to wear dresses. And she made my clothes. And I was always secretly annoyed that she would make me dresses without pockets. Because where are you supposed to put your rocks?
Exactly.
So I'd tuck them in my sock. And I've always been interested in gems and minerals. I felt like they could talk to me and I could hear them.
Oh, that is so cool.
Oh, see, and now Barb, and you mentioned Barb always talks about plants and land talking to her. One of the first times I ever met Barb, I was out at her place and she turned to me and she goes, "Do you hear that?" I was like, "What?" She goes, "Do you hear that? They're talking." And it was the funniest thing, because I think at that point, she had thought like everybody that's in this business must hear it all the time. Now, yes, there's times I hear it, but I think a lot of times we're pulled to certain gems and stones. And I think it's without even knowing what they are or what their capabilities are, their function. I think that it's a need, you know, for us that we have to have it. Correct.
I agree. There's so many different types of gems and minerals. And I've always been a rock collector. My grandmother got me started when I was just a little kid, you know. So I have amassed quite a collection. And I went to a gem show in East Springfield many years ago. And there was a gentleman there selling jewelry, and he was a wire wrapper, pretty famous, well-known in the industry, wire wrapper. And I thought, I can do that. No, I can't. I bought some wire. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I had really horrible tools. I messed up everything. So then I bought a book and I still couldn't do it. So then I bought some videos, which is pre-YouTube. So that's how long ago it was.
Wow.
I still couldn't do it. I mean, I was able to make the jewelry, but it just didn't
feel
right. It just didn't feel right. So I decided just to trust my intuition and my inner guidance. I believe in divine intervention. And I believe, like I said, the stones talk to me. And then I just created my own style. And it just blossomed from there.
Yeah. It's
completely different, I think, than what anybody else does.
Your pieces are stunning.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
It's amazing. You had a whole box of beads of various. Yes, and I'm like, oh my God. Cause I had to keep them all separate because I can kind of tell them apart. And you're like, this is a blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I picked up one that I'd never heard of before, the Super Seven Stone.
Yes, the Melody Stone or the Quaxonite, the Super Seven. It's seven different minerals in one. It's a really high ascension stone, high vibration.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. I put that on top of my quartz crystal and I just took it off because I put my pajamas on before the
podcast. Is it true with this, especially, I mean, years ago, I can remember people saying, and I didn't know as much back then about crystals and what to use. And somebody said that certain crystals don't play well together. What's your feeling on that?
I sort of disagree, only because,
oh yeah,
you know, each crystal carries its own property, whether it's the mineral content or metaphysically. And I think it just depends on who's going to be wearing it.
Right.
But that being said, I have made jewelry sometimes and I'm like, oh, these two will look really nice together. And I can't get them to stay in the setting. They just pop or fly across the room, literally. And I have to go crawling on my hands and knees. I have beads and gems all over my floor. It's like, yeah, I have a hard time vacuuming here. But sometimes they don't play well together, but it's not because of the metaphysical properties themselves.
Right.
They just at that moment don't want to be together, I believe.
But I also believe that we lose them when we're supposed to.
Correct. When the job is done. Or they'll break. Sometimes it'll break. Yep. You know, somebody could be holding an amethyst in the process of trying to detoxify something within their body and the stone will break.
Mm-hmm.
The job sacrificing itself. It's like, oh, I'm done.
Yeah, but we're drawn to it's I love nothing more than at a show when I'm a vendor and I have my jewelry displayed and someone will walk up instinctively to a piece and I have the name of the stones and the description of what they do right on the card and they'll start to cry. So I'll come around from my booth, of course, give them a hug and I explain the stones and very often they'll say, this speaks to me. This is exactly what I have been looking for. This is what I feel I need. And let me tell you, they'll put the gemstone, the necklace on, and they just glow. It's surreal almost.
That's what a great thing that you're able to do that, like really empower people with the use of these tools that you love. Does anybody else in your family have this same kind of ability or draw to this kind of work?
Not the gems and jewelry, no. My grandmother did, which is where I got my, I'll call it a passion, not an addiction. Her house was magical. She had rocks and plants and cactus and just musical instruments everywhere. It was really wonderful.
She sounds amazing.
She was amazing.
So she was kind of a garden witch and nobody knew it or she didn't proclaim it. Okay, gotcha.
Well, sort of. I have her magic book. Very old and I have her book. So, yeah.
Oh, Cindy, that's so cool.
It's quite a gift for sure.
How neat. Where was the house located?
Her house?
Yeah.
She lived in Ames. In Sharon Springs when I was little growing up. She lived in Sharon. I spent a lot of time with her.
Which I think is really, I mean, that's got a ton of sulfur there.
And I live in Sharon Springs. So pretty sacred area, I believe.
Yeah, it is. Beautiful and sacred. How cool is that? So growing up, you like to put rocks in your pocket. Do you feel like you had other ability as well, like, you know, premonitions or the ability to read people, or was it just in connection maybe with healing or a little
actually,
bit of both?
Both, actually, but I didn't realize what I was experiencing until I became an adult and I was I have a finance background. So I was a loan officer, mortgage specialist, a bank branch manager, salesman. That was my gig for a real paycheck. And I met someone who was a mediator with the county, but he was also very metaphysical. And we just started chatting, and he helped me to realize what I was experiencing. I just thought, you know, everybody could see things or feel things or heal things. But he helped me to realize that's what was going on. So I just took it from there.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We know a lot of people. Like, I worked for the Chamber of Commerce. Michelle has a couple different degrees, but she worked at basically your background is archaeology, right?
Archaeology, anthropology. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So she really liked to dig.
There was no like psychic medium school. So I went for archaeology. My master's in linguistic archaeology and anthropology. So I was digging things up and communicating. It's like, oh, now it makes sense why I went for that.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Now, I love how when you're talking about how people are drawn to stones, I love to, when I'm working, like I'm at Crystal Reiki sometimes, adults will come in and be looking for a stone for healing, and they'll read every single stone, or they'll look in a book. Then you'll see the kids walk in, they go, they look around and they reach in and they grab the right stone.
Right.
Yep.
And I love that about kids. They're so intuitive. They just go with it. And a lot of times us adults tend to overthink it. I think I need this stone. We go about it.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because I think, and I was going to bring that up, you know, you and I for years, Michelle, have talked about kids with ability, and especially if they're overwhelmed in schools, and I'm probably going to go through another, you know, wave of it again, but they need to be grounded. So whether it's putting in a Himalayan salt lamp in the house, or putting crystals in their room, or having them carry the crystals that they choose, things like that, it really and getting their hands in dirt, it really helps indigo children. But I think more of the populace now need it just across the board.
I agree.
I'm always telling people, here, put these crystals in your car. All the kids in my family, they've got crystals in their backpacks for school.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, here. We know people that carry them in their bra. So,
yes. Yes, right. Well, as Michelle would say, they're, what does she call them, booby baubles? And the funnier part of that is, if you're a person that does that and you're carrying them around all the time in your bra, you go to get changed, and every time you take your clothes off, you forget they're in there. And yeah. It's like boom, ba-da, boom, 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 boom. It's like a band playing.
Funny.
Just an inside thing. Nice surprise. So one of the other things I wanted to ask, too, is as you have been doing this, have you ever found that you either maybe had another piece that you were reconfiguring, or had an experience that maybe there was a spirit attached to any of the stones?
Ooh, good question.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Ooh, so
you tell, girl.
Yeah. Good and bad.
Tell.
So what I recommend when people take a piece home, whether it be in jewelry, a wand, or a rough stone, to clean it, because it can store the energy of the previous person.
Right.
So especially a piece of jewelry, because you're going to be wearing it next to your skin. I actually am a Reiki master teacher, as Michelle mentioned. So each piece I work on, I infuse with Reiki.
Oh, I love that.
So I try to give it some good positive vibes. I did that with the crystals at the class that we just had this last Saturday.
Yes.
Everybody's like, oh, these feel so nice. So
now, do you feel like you handed them out? Did you, was it random for you, or did you feel like the crystals were leading you?
I knew people were going to sit at the right spot, because although they looked the same, they were different. So I knew everybody was going to pick the right spot to sit. But the bead we put on the top, they chose themselves intuitively. I find that a lot of people, when they feel they may need healing, or maybe they don't even realize it, they might be drawn to a particular color. And a lot of times the color of that gem will resonate to the color of the chakra that might need healing.
I think that happens, at least for myself, I think that actually happens quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And you go through different periods where, like, you're completely purple and you're completely red. And like you definitely are needing And it's the same, even like if you're working with archangels, and because the archangels are representative with certain colors, and you'll be like, I'm really called to, you know, cobalt blue, which is Archangel Michael. And, you know, all of that kind of ties in as well. And I don't think we realize it until we start to know other pieces of it. And you're like, and as soon as you know that, it's like, oh, it makes so much sense. So right. Going back, tell us about a time that you had a stone that was evil.
Oh my gosh. So there's a particular stone that I actually can't work with. I have quite a few pieces in my collection for jewelry, and it's from Australia, and it's a specific kind of jasper. Mm-hmm. I don't feel anything necessarily negative with it, but I can't even go near it. I break out into a complete sweat.
Oh,
so I just stay away from it. I don't know why.
It just repels you.
So it's kind of pretty. It looks a little bit like pottery. I have several pieces in a display case too, but I just stay away from it. So it carries something with it. And like I said, I've had times when I'm working with jewelry and the stone just pops out. It just will not go into that setting that I'm trying to work with. I just put it away. I give some Reiki and I put it away.
I've had the experience where it keeps finding me. Mm-hmm. So I'll think I've lost it, and I put it in my bag or my purse or whatever. And I'm like, well, that's all right. It was supposed to leave, you know, or whatever. And literally when probably I need it most, I'll find it like in my wallet, or I'll find it in another. And I feel like it had to come back to me. And another time I can remember going through a lot of the metaphysical things and changes. And I parked my car and I looked down, and there was like literally in a parking lot, like a Walmart, like a cluster of crystals next to the car, polished crystals. So I know it was, the one was tiger eye, kind of large. Oh, and the other one was like a jade. And I picked it up and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so weird. And I'm like looking around, like, is there an owner? And I'm like, nope, it was supposed to find me. Carried those forever. And just recently I realized I lost them. So somebody else now has them. Right.
Mm-hmm. I have a red jade heart. It's carved into the shape of a heart. It disappears. It must have disappeared and reappeared 10 times for me. And it always reappears on my bedroom floor.
Mm.
It's so wild. And, yep. I get so attached. I think the lesson with that is to not, you know, don't worry, because you don't lose that. It's always there. It'll come back to you when you need it.
Yep.
So I get worked up, and then there it is.
Totally.
Yeah.
Now, how many stones would you say you have in your house right now, Cindy?
What was the question?
How many stones would you guess? A rough estimate you have.
Oh boy. if you counted every single loose crystal and gem and piece, probably thousands, 7,000 pieces.
Yeah. It's gotta be amazing energy.
They're everywhere, and they're outside. They're everywhere.
Must be like vibrating when people come in the house. Years ago, I can remember going to Kara's house out in the middle of, I think it's St. Johnsville is where she lived at the time. And her husband worked for a quarry out there. One of the things that they would find constantly was Herkimer diamonds.
Diamonds. Mm-hmm.
So I came and actually just her husband or friend had them too, buckets of them. And she was the one that said, just put your arm in the middle of it. And I put my arm in, and I didn't know a lot about that. I was still doing readings out there, but I didn't know a lot about that. Put my arm in there, and it raised all the hair on my arm. It was like, oh my God, like really, really charged. I know.
Phenomenal gemstone. Yeah. I do a lot with the Herkimer diamonds. Definitely.
Do you mine your own? Have you gone and done
mine? I have mined in several locations, and I was fortunate enough to mine in Little Falls where they find the scepters.
Yes.
Oh. With a Herkimer sitting on top of it. And I've found some really cool things there. Yep.
You know what I find when I go and do stuff like that? Snakes.
No.
I find ground wasps.
That's a totally different lesson.
Yeah. Exactly. And I mean, I know it's supposed to be, but it's like every other thing I look over and there's a snake. There's, and I'm not afraid. It's like, can I just, can you just leave me a stone or lead me to a stone? Like, you know, the Temple of Doom.
Show you where they are. I like to hear Herkimer diamonds with moldavite. That's a real powerful combination in a pendant.
Mm-hmm. What's that a good combo for?
Spirit contact.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Moldavite. Dream awakenings, but it's moldavite is connection with enhances psychic ability, spirit connection.
Mm-hmm. I've got one sitting in my kitchen where I do readings.
Oh yeah, well there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Do that. Now you've made a lot of jewelry, and you sell in a lot of different places.
I have an online site, a store on my website, that's thespiralconnection.com. So there's a lot of information on there about different gemstones and what they do, and also about Reiki. And I sell, I had a couple of boutiques, and I do a lot of festivals, a lot of shows, a lot of events. And I was mentioning to you the other day that I was able to connect with someone to do specific designs for a home shopping channel. So that was
a home shopping
intense. Yeah, it was crazy to see what I created. I would design it. They'd pick the design, approve it, and then I would actually make it, which is, I'm usually a one of a kind of person.
Right.
But, you know, then you get an order for 500 or 1,000 pieces and you have to make them all in 30 to 45 days.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's like,
whoa. Good Lord, woman.
See it on TV was pretty cool. So.
Wow,
that was awesome.
What's probably the most unusual thing that somebody's asked you to design using the stones?
A belly button ring. That was not easy because, you know, that was interesting.
But you didn't have to put it in, but
no,
I understand.
No, that costs extra. I made tiaras, custom, but most of the custom pieces have been pendants. I've done bracelets with pennies in them that they found, they believe, have come from loved ones. So I put that into pendants or bracelets.
Like a memory.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Do you do anything with ashes, like cremations?
I have not, but I could. Yeah.
That would be really awesome for a family member to be carrying the cremations along with, like, maybe a crystal that was important to that family member or to help with the actual grieving process.
That I could do. I've never been asked, but yeah, that's definitely something I could do.
Oh, I love that.
I feel like you will be asked soon.
Yeah, now you will be asked because we brought it up. Now with you, especially at this point in your life, like when you're looking at other people's work, or have you ever had the experience like you're working at a festival? Because I know Michelle and I have had this. That you look over at another vendor and you're like, I would not touch that stuff with a 10-foot pole.
Well, everybody's work is different. I've been at quite a few events where I've been right next to another wire worker, wire wrapper, whatever you want to call us. And our work was entirely different. So not everybody's the same. But sadly, I've been to a few where the energy was pretty rough. I believe you put that energy carries on into the piece that someone's buying and taking home and eventually going to wear. So, yeah.
It's like a
dark I tell this story years ago, Cindy. I went to something and I was with Albany Ghost Investigators, and I was part of the paranormal crew to go into this house that was haunted, but they had hired 3 psychics to come in to do a séance. Those people did not know I was a psychic. Meanwhile, they're outside, they're smoking, like hanging around, like their vibration was so low. And I'm coming in and out with equipment. And I'm thinking to myself, if that's the crew that's doing this, their vibration is super, super low. And I'll tell you, from the second they started have the seance, you could feel like it. Not that it wasn't accurate. It did bring forward a lot of spirits, and maybe that's what they needed for that particular investigation, because we caught a lot of stuff on the recordings and everything. And mostly it was kind of like nasty, like yelling at us, but Maybe that's exactly what we needed. But the whole time I kept thinking to myself, that's not a healthy
vibration
or energy that I would want to be even associated with. So I can imagine with the work, because you're so mindful of the healing and the Reiki, yes. that in those kind of places, that when you're with somebody kind of rough, it's like, oof, you probably have to bubble yourself ahead of time and then make sure. Do you clear everything when you bring it home?
I do. As I'm putting it away, as I'm packing everything, I hold each piece. I absolutely do. And I surround my table and my space with Reiki energy and, you know, good vibes. So, I'm blessed that I have people that come look for me at shows. They're collectors.
right.
Cool. Looking for Cindy. Now, Cindy, you make other pieces too, ceremonial tools. You showed us a wand. You had done a wand making class at Barb's.
Yes. So several years ago, it kind of morphed into, I don't even know how it started. I just started making it. I'm like, wow, this is cool. So I make wands with crystals and copper. I use leather, ethically sourced feathers, and inside the wand are gemstones. So it's also a rattle.
And, oh, nice.
Yeah, crystals on the ends. Sometimes I'll use shungite, selenite, depends on, they'll each have their own purpose, of which I don't tell people, but they find the right home. They definitely do. I can tell when people buy it. One of the someone I know is a shaman. She bought one of my wands and she instantly took it and held it in the air, in the sky, and looked up and started to work with it. And I knew it was going home with her. It was amazing to see.
So you're kind of like from Harry Potter with Ollivander's
wand. Yes. And now I'm making smudge holders that have gemstones in them. They're made with copper.
Really?
And it holds your smudge. It's got a handle with everything I do has a spiral in it. That's the name of the company, is a spiral connection. So you put your thumbs on those copper spirals and with the gemstones, and then that goes in while you're smudging.
So that's awesome.
Yeah. Love that.
Oh, I do too. I can use that. That's amazing. Do you think, or do you ever dream of making that? And do you ever dream of doing this in another lifetime?
Yeah, I feel safe. I can say that to you. Yes, I do. I feel like I've done this before.
Right. So that's why it's a natural thing for you. Mm-hmm. Our listeners would appreciate that too, that you naturally feel like, oh, I know how to do that because I've done this before.
Mm-hmm. It's more like remembering rather than learning.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's why when I tried to copy someone else's style and learn the technique and how to work with wire, it just wasn't working for me. So I just kind of sat and let it come natural. And in all honesty, there are some pieces I just adore when I'm done and I have no idea how I made it.
Mm. So it's almost like a trance.
Yeah. Oh, well, then that's like a divine intervention too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I've had that experience, and I talk about that, especially back when I first started, Cindy. I mean, we didn't have Facebook and things like that for advertising, and I was doing everything, you know, from home on my own. And what I would do is, after going on weekends and doing readings, if I had one that was a really powerful, you know, maybe scary story or positive story, I would ask the people if I could retell it, and then I would send it out, and I would write it. And I'm telling you, I would get up the next day and I would reread it. And I'd think, wow, I can't believe I wrote that. Like, I didn't even remember certain parts of it.
Right.
So I understand that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. And there's some that I just couldn't part with. I felt like it was made for me. So I kept it.
Mine.
Which is probably a part of that whole thing again, where you're kind of like assembling those pieces from other lifetimes.
Mm-hmm. A lot of it happens a lot when I work with meteorite, with the moldavite, when I work with a K2 stone. If you're not familiar with that, it's from the mountain K2, tallest mountain in the world. And it's a beautiful granite, grayish white granite stone with chunks of azurite in it.
Oh my gosh.
So there's just certain stones I get lost in the process, and I don't even know how it happens.
So do you travel to other countries to acquire the stones for yourself?
I don't, but I've been to, there's a really large gem show in the Big E in East Springfield, Massachusetts, one of the biggest ones in this area of the country. Oh, mm-hmm. Syracuse has a big show, and then I've been to Sedona, and I've also been to, and I've also been to the Tucson Gem Show.
What's your luggage weight? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Oh man, when I came back from the Tucson show, I had to carry some of the stuff on my lap because it was fragile, and then the rest I had to ship, which was a lot more than I thought. You're not shipping stamps and feathers; you're shipping rocks, and that was pricey.
yeah, exactly.
That carry on is bad. Like 100 pounds.
Yeah. Is there a stone or a crystal that is something that you would want now going into, especially 2025, 26, mm-hmm. that you feel really pulled or called to, that maybe is a little bit harder for you to get?
I can't really put my finger on anything. Any stone really is not that difficult. Maybe tanzanite is becoming more increasingly difficult to find. Zincite, because they're changing the processes of how things are done, the smelting process with zincite, that's very difficult to find. But I always tell people, if they're not sure, go with regular quartz crystal.
Oh.
Yeah, because that's considered the master healer.
So, yes, 100%. Love that. And absolutely love it.
Do you grow grinder quartz crystals?
I do. Especially if they're a record keeper. Sometimes I'll find, I have a bag of crystals that I work with, and I look at each one first to see what shape and formation they're in. But you can easily program quartz crystals, and the record keepers have their own information to give you.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. And do you just hold them and meditate on them?
Mm-hmm. On the third eye.
Oh, okay.
In the center of your forehead.
Wow. Do you do any classes with connecting with crystals?
I haven't, but I could. Yeah.
Oh, I think that would be really good.
Girl, you're missing. I'll tell you, it's one of the number one things that are requested, or people will ask, and they really want to know what, and I think that, you know, like a lot of things, they maybe don't trust their own judgment, and they really want to know more. And just like all of these things, they don't realize how much information is out there. You know, I can lead you to a couple things, but then I'd have to say, geez, you really need to be speaking to an expert. And locally, sadly, there's not a lot of experts connected with that kind of work, or people that are just pure in that kind of work. So, girl, you better get on it.
Yeah, that would be fun too, wouldn't it?
Yes.
It would be a lot of fun. I've taught jewelry classes where we've learned about the different stones and the properties of quartz and what it means. And it's just intense. You know, the quartz carries its own specific vibration. It's different than most other gemstones. And it'll also amplify the energy of the stone it's with. So if, for example, you want a rose quartz for yourself, for self-love and to accept love and to bring it in, if you put a quartz with it, it'll amplify it. So I'll make pendants of the two together.
Of rose quartz.
And of rose quartz and regular quartz. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I think I saw a couple people pick the rose quartz bead in the class.
Yes, they did.
That's good to know. That's fascinating. So yeah, like just a class on, you know, creating relationships with your crystals. I think people would just, because they're looking for that. Because I get questions all the time with readings. And like Katie said, you know, I pull out my crystal Bible that I've got sitting right here. And I'll say, you know, and you go through the index, but it's much more of, I feel like it's a card catalog. And I always tell people, go into like Crystal Reiki is a place out in Amsterdam where they have a lot of crystals. Just go in and walk with your hands. Just you know, see what you're just drawn to. But people are starving for this information. So I think that'd be a great thing for you.
We just want to feel better. We want something to make us happy or make us feel better or bring comfort, give us a little hope, you know. So
what do you think of those? I've never gotten one, but what do you think of those water tumblers that have the crystals that come up through the bottom?
You can infuse your water with crystals. Definitely. Some are not a good idea. They're water soluble, so you shouldn't work with those. But most of them, if it's a quartz stone. Amethyst is quartz, citrine and rose quartz and clear quartz. But yeah, definitely. You know, you can, it's no different really than infusing your crystals in the moonlight or putting water out during a full moon. So definitely.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. You can infuse the energy.
Well, there's a lot of cosmetics right now. There's cosmetics and perfumes that actually have crystals in them. I think Pacifica has, I think quite a few of them now that have that and like infused with rose or, you know, the rose quartz or the clear quartz. And it's to, you know, not just, you know, a thing like that, but really to help you like enhance your beauty or your, you know, like that same thing, like a self-love.
Oh, absolutely. You know, just having the stone in your presence will bring that energy into your energy field. So that's why I like to design the jewelry, you know, and each piece is totally different. Every gemstone is different, but I, you know, and I work in sterling silver and 14 karat gold fill. It's not gold. I don't work with plated wire. Because you'll fall in love with the piece, you'll wear it every day, and a week later the silver's gone. You know, now it's copper or brass or something. So I think the jewelry you wear should speak to who you are. It should be a piece of art, and it should carry your essence of who you are. That's why people are drawn to specific pieces.
Yep.
Now you were wearing a piece of jewelry on Saturday that I was just, my eyes are drawn to it. I'm thinking, oh, I wonder where she got that. It's a sword.
I made a sword.
Oh, I made this. Like, I mean, it's amazing. And it's just the most beautiful, intricate sword. And what did you say again? It was really funny.
I'm a big fan of King Arthur and Excalibur. And so I have a wire wrapped sword. It's all out of sterling silver. And I said it represents strength and independence and being a warrior. And then I mentioned something else.
She needs to defend herself.
But it I wear it for strength for myself.
Oh, I think that's awesome. Absolutely awesome. Yeah. In your family, now you probably have influenced everybody else, but in your family now, do other family members work with you or have picked it up or now have more interest in it?
No. But I don't really have any family members left other than my son, who's an incredible craftsman. He's a woodworker. So his talent is channeled through his hands, through the wood. And it's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Which is probably also Cindy from another lifetime.
Oh, with no doubt.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I always think it's funny that, you know, most of the time nobody will say anything or they call it woo woo or whatever. And then all of a sudden it's a full moon or crazy energy. And then I'm getting like, you know, text messages or emails from family members like, hey, what's going on right now? And it's like, oh, now you're a believer.
Right. Yes. Yes. If they see something on the news or hear it on a podcast with somebody else, they're like, hey, you're into all that crazy stuff. What stone should I use for, you know, whatever.
Right.
My favorite is like, I don't believe in a ghost and the whatnot. And then like 11 o'clock at night, we're staying at a hotel and there's a man. He's like, can you clear me now? I'm like, oh, so now
I'm not so weird. Right.
Yeah.
My favorite thing, especially when the kids were, you know, like teens, like older teens and stuff, and they'd have their friends over. And if it was a full moon night, new moon or full moon, I'd go through the house and I'd be smudging. And very matter of fact, both children would go, oh, my mom's coming through smudging. So just sit here for a second. And you could see the look at, like, and I'm telling you, these were like maybe somebody that were dating. You could see the look on their face, like, okay. Oh, yeah. You know, and I come through and I you want me to smudge you? And, you know, like, that too. But it was just such a funny thing because, you know, for them, even now growing up, and they've got, my son has two kids of his own. He'll definitely message when he feels like something is off or he needs to know more information, way more, I think, now than they used to, you know, as they evolved. So it is really interesting.
Nothing like being a parent to make you suddenly pay attention to things to keep your kids safe, you know?
Absolutely.
I get that when people walk into my house, they're like, oh, because if they've never been here before, I mean, everybody knows, you know, I have all the crystals and everything around, but they don't realize how many. My fireplace is a Herkimer, is made out of Herkimer diamonds. They have a Herkimer
diamond. So cool.
Yes, that would be great. But you can feel it. You can feel the energy of all the stones when you walk in. Absolutely.
Do you have a shop in your house? Do you have a shop?
Like, I do not. No, nope. I just have a little studio where I work.
Okay. I'm just like, shop.
Yeah, right.
Come on through. Well, listen, we were in that, bring it up again. We were in a particular mansion that they had the stone brought in from Italy, and it was carved, and the house was horribly haunted. And I mean that in the biggest sense of the, it had such bad energy. And I don't know if it was just that the way the stone was carved. It reported,
yeah,
or it like it held that negative energy from the home. But the second you walked in the room, you literally felt like it took your breath away.
Wow.
And I don't know if it was the wood around it or the stone itself had certain carvings that seemed to amplify the negativity. I can't remember. I just remember.
It was both, because the stone in the fireplace had weird carvings.
Symbolism and whatnot. Yeah.
Right. Symbolism with devils and cherubs. Oh, and I believe that also had the Masonic in that as well. And then the wood carvings around the room also had that.
And it was bouncing. And I think there was like a witness mirror to some horrible like murder. There was a witness mirror, you know, rather than, I don't know why you'd want a mirror hanging on your wall that had seen something like that. So I think that was in that room too, if I'm not mistaken.
But so that was another one that might've been from another property and brought there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. That
so I think it only like amplified what was already there, or, you know, maybe they were drawn to it for that, like kind of macabre, but it, it definitely that stone, and it was not anything that was like, you know, just looked like regular stone or marble, but it really, that it had a very, very heavy energy.
Wow.
So your fireplace sounds amazing.
Yours is like a witch's cottage that like everybody wants to go visit.
Pretty much.
Do you have do you have cats and dogs that help you with your?
I had two cats, but and sadly lost them. But I have a dog. He's Louis the Beagle. This is his house. He just lets me take care of it. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's us with Frank.
He lays on my feet when I work. So.
Oh, so he's helping.
He's a good boy. Yeah.
When Michelle does Reiki and you're on the table. Especially when she's got the rocks all over you, her cat comes up and gets like right on you or in the middle of your legs and kind of like assists with the Reiki session.
Oh, I believe that.
He'll move the stones around if they're in the wrong spot. He's like, excuse me, this is in the wrong spot.
Louis will lay under the table. He loves Reiki. So if I'm doing a session, he'll get right under the table. And
my one cat would lay under the table and stare up at people's faces with the donut.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that is too funny. Yeah, no, I just remember that yours like laid on top of me, and it was like so, like almost like having a heating pad. Yeah. It felt so relaxing while you were doing the session. So, Cindy,
yes,
tell us a story about you that maybe our listeners wouldn't know about you, that maybe had to do with paranormal or ghosts or spirits, if you've attracted anything like that, or maybe even some sort of like psychic insight, premonition, and maybe it's even strengthened as you've gone along with the work you do.
Well, I have a couple that I can.
Oh, good. Tell us.
I don't always share a lot of personal stuff, but I think it would be appropriate. As I mentioned, my grandmother, I know that she is with me and watching me.
Yes.
And helping me and guiding me. And I named a piece after her. Her name was Catherine. And I couldn't sell it. I had it on the website and I took it down. And I kept it because it reminded me of her. But I do have a very close person of mine on the other side that I feel watches me and guides me every day. And that's my husband. Mm. And I've had many instances where I know he's been here. because he was a volunteer firefighter, and I'll be thinking of him or talking to him, and the fire siren will go off.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, and I know he's watching me and protecting me. Yeah.
And assisting with you.
Oh, absolutely. And I can't see things, but I can smell and feel. So sometimes I'll smell smoke or I'll smell wood because he was a woodworker. And I know he's here helping, looking over, you know. Yeah.
I think that's soothing. Sometimes I wish I didn't have to see. A little bit more startling. And I find that I'm soothed more by, you know, smelling each spirit, you know, loved one mm-hmm. spirit. And they each have their own specific scent or flavor, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
When they come through.
Then you know who's there.
Exactly.
But I can definitely feel that guidance when I work.
Mm. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to always say you're his heaven. So there's no way he's not going to always be there with you to help you and guide you. Did you ever have anything, even growing up, that maybe was the beginnings of something more maybe paranormal where you grew up or
spooky? Yes, because where I grew up, the house was haunted, I believed. And I never realized what I was experiencing when I was a little girl until, like I said, I got older and also with healing. And I automatically pick up the baby bird that would hit the window or the bunny rabbit that couldn't find its mom. I had baby crows that I found in the cemetery. They're just down the road from my house that I brought home in a box and tried to heal them and help them.
What was the haunting in the house as a child? What happened?
I would see chairs move, and I don't know who it was or what was happening, but I would see things move.
And then anybody else in the family have that, or just you?
No, it was just me. Oh, after a while, people look at you kind of funny and you're like, well, I just don't think I should probably mention that anymore.
Well, the other thing is you start to think it's your norm,
right?
Like that's
your norm. Everybody would do that. I thought everybody would see things, and I thought everybody would feel it. Or didn't everybody have rocks in their pocket and take them out of the driveway? And you know, I thought everybody was like that.
Right. And then you say it out loud to the wrong group. Oh, man.
They don't think you're nutty.
After a while, you start to become numb to that and you don't care. You just do your own thing and you focus on your own self and your beliefs.
I'm a weird girl and I've made a fool of myself so many times. I'm good. I'm fine to forge ahead with whatever. I have a funny rocks in the pocket story. My youngest son played a little league, and my favorite little league is T-ball because it's just so cute. And he would be out in the outfield, you know, not really paying attention. And he was I'm watching him pick up rocks and put them in his pocket. And then finally someone else hit the ball and they said, run, Didi, run. He starts to run. And there's so many rocks in his pockets that his pants come down.
Oh no.
That I haven't had happen yet.
Yeah. Somebody falls right over. Oh my God.
That's adorable. That's great.
People love that. That was the funniest one thing.
Sarah had played soccer. And we tried to get her into like tumbling and things like that when she was little. And we're at one of the games. I look over and I had gotten Sarah really funny, like a winter hat, but you know, they were still playing outside. It was chilly. So it looked like a faux hawk and everything. It was kind of wild. And I look over and she's supposed to be playing and the coach yelled at her to get the ball, to run. She and another girl are on the sideline doing exactly what you're just talking about, Dee. They were digging up rocks with a stick. And her father and I go, Sarah, you got to run. And she goes, she doesn't even respond to that. She holds up. She goes, look at rocks. And she's covered in mud. Look at rocks. And my husband and I just looked at each other like, you know, this is a lot of fun that we're paying for this. I could just leave her out in the backyard and let her do that. So, yeah. Yeah. So we actually have photos of her with this other little girl. They're both huge smiles, like smiling, and everybody else is running by.
I love it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. All proud of their rocks. What would you give as advice, or maybe even the beginnings of for people that are interested in perhaps starting to craft these, or even just collecting crystals? What's mm-hmm. the initial advice, Cindy, you would give to somebody?
Oh, there's a gem show coming up in Albany, I think. Oh. Is it in February, or I don't know?
I think you're right, girl.
Yeah. So if it's something you want to start to collect, I'd say go to a gem show and just browse and ask questions and see what you are drawn to and what you resonate with, and learn prices, because that's a big issue, of course, too. And also the museum is a great place to go to see.
I love the museum for that, because it's from this region. Yes. And you can see some of the things, and you think to yourself, my God, because we know that certain locations are haunted more because mm-hmm. of what's in the ground.
Yes.
We know that it's like, so we'll talk about water as being something that works as a conduit, or train tracks. But really, if there's things like lime in the ground, and quartz,
granite,
that works yeah. to like granite, right? It helps to work like a memory in mm-hmm. the ground of these locations themselves. So I love the museum. And then I always think to myself, do they have, like, I never get like a reading off of them on the display, but then I always wonder to myself the same thing, like, nobody's going in there and clearing those.
Right. Yeah. Well, nobody's touching them either, so I don't.
Oh, that's true.
So maybe that helps. But we're in such a mineral rich area, and fossils too.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of fun, and there's some great books. You mentioned the Crystal Bible. There's three. Yeah, I have them right here too. There's three. There's three Crystal Bibles, I think. Volumes 1, 2, and 3, and also Robert Simmons is the Book of Stones.
Oh, I don't have that.
I've never heard that.
That is amazing.
Robert Simmons.
So he used to, I think he still owns a company called Heaven and Earth, and they used to do crystal retreats where you'd several days, and you'd learn all about crystals and gems and working with them and so on. And he's one of the people that pretty much is the reason Moldavite is in the United States.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Meet him, and he signed my book. So, you know, starstruck. Most people.
Wait a minute. Was he at Lilydale? Was he ever at Lilydale, Cindy?
Probably. I don't know. That's my goal this year, is to go to Lilydale. It's very possible. And he works with a woman named Naija Azian, who also the Book of Stones is the name of the book. And I'm looking at it. There's two different editions. You want to get the most recent. They have absolutely everything in there. And they talk about the geological formation of the gem. Yes, that's it.
The book. It's on Amazon, folks.
They have the geological formation and the makeup and the chemistry of the stone and where you find it. But then he has his take on it, and Naisha has her take on it. And then mm-hmm. they have the spiritual, the physical, and the emotional benefits of each gemstone. So it's a phenomenal book. If you want to start to get in, I would recommend that.
So get the book and then go to a gemstone.
Yes, and see what you resonate with and get used to what the prices are. I don't recommend buying online until you are pretty much sure who.
And there's a lot of phonies, right? You can get that stuff and it's not real. It's fake.
Correct. So if it seems like it's a great price, there's a reason. especially with Moldavite. We're getting hit with a lot of fake Moldavite in the market. So if you buy a piece of jewelry, you want to make sure that it's a real piece. I have some trusted vendors that I work exclusively with where I buy my gemstones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Yeah. Never would have thought that. I think during when everybody was shopping online during COVID, I think that was one of the first times I ever heard of that. And they were saying like stuff was coming, and they could tell by like they put it like in a cup of water and normal like stones that shouldn't like break down were literally like melting in the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'd lose its color, stain the water. Yes. Yeah. But Moldavite is a big one for being a big fake. So you have to be really careful with that.
We went down when we were in Washington. We went to the Natural History Museum.
Oh, I'd like to
see. Yeah. It was amazing. I do have to say, you know, we saw the Hope Diamond, and I got freaked out.
Oh,
But the gem exhibit there is insane.
Wow,
Love it. Absolutely. And they have the ones with the black lights on them.
Yep. And, yeah. I just started working with, I posted it on my Facebook page for my business, a Uprolite. A lot of people haven't heard of that. It's an igneous rock, but they find it in Michigan. They just discovered it in 2017.
So it's a pretty recent cool.
Yeah. And it's a UV. When you shine a black light on it, it's kind of gray and brown in normal light. And under UV, it's bright orange and pink and red. It's really a cool stone.
Yeah. Oh, I think I need it.
Yeah. It's a good self-awareness. So I've made bracelets for it. And I recommend that people wear the bracelets on their left arm. Because you bring energy in on the left. So you want to have that energy go through those gemstones as it comes into your body on your left side.
My left pocket is full.
There you go. That's the place for it.
I jingle when I walk.
Know that, you know, Native Americans use the stones and gifted the stones. We know that, you know, other cultures have done this with specific things in mind.
Yes.
In giving those, with Valentine's Day coming up, what would you recommend for people to gift for Valentine?
Rose quartz is always a good one for love, for the heart. Definitely. Pearls, something. Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
Those are really good. And any stone that's green to match with the heart chakra.
You know what I have? I tell people to get I do a little feng shui with clients, and in the love area, it's this cute little, it's a piece of green jade.
Yes, absolutely.
Like a lily pad, and it's two mandarin ducks carved out of rose quartz, and they fit together.
That's perfect. And jade is a beautiful stone.
It's just so beautiful. Yeah. I used to tell people, this is what you want. And now I'm going to go and put, I have, you know, of course, my love area. So me and my husband's our 19th wedding anniversary is tomorrow. So I'm going to go put a piece of Herkimer diamond with that
amplify it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you two could love each other anymore though, Michelle. I can't stand it.
I know. It's just wonderful.
That's wonderful.
It's wonderful the second time around when you're with the right person.
I know. Really good I'm glad. Well, tell us if there's anything that's coming up. What do you have on your schedule as far as classes or any upcoming things that you're going to be in?
Barb and I are working on a couple of classes. I'll be doing a Reiki 1 class in March at Willow Tree Wisdom. And then in April, I think it's the 5th we picked. We haven't really settled on a lot yet. We're going to do a wand making class. So the wand like Barb had at her shop. That she uses. We're gonna have a class to make those.
Do you have a tentative date on the wand class?
I think the wand class is April 5th.
Okay, I'm gonna write. Oh, good, I have nothing there. Because I want to.
I think you should offer another class too, maybe even on Herkimer Diamond digging. Yeah.
We could actually go and dig and then make it into jewelry. That would be fun.
Yeah, I think you could do a two-parter with that and you would be extremely successful. So I think that those would be some good education. Any other places you're going to be at shows?
The Winter Witches Festival is coming up in February. That is the 1st and 2nd in Albany.
Wonderful.
It's a 2-day show. And then there's I don't know if you'd want to come to Buffalo, but I have a show in Buffalo on the 8th and 9th. And then I think Barb's doing a show in Amsterdam. 22nd is going to be Reiki 1 at Willow Tree Wisdom.
I have the 22nd, February 22nd is the psychic.
I think she moved it to March.
Barb. Okay.
I thought she moved it to the 29th of March.
Well, any of those for our listeners that are looking or wanting to go to, they should go to the website for Willow Tree Wisdom.
Yes.
And they can check that out so that they don't get confused about the dates and they can put in a reservation for those. And what is your website that our listeners can connect to you?
It's thespiralconnection.com.
Beautiful. Well, I have to say, I am so happy you were on with us tonight. And loved talking about it, the jewelry and everything. And I know I still need to connect with you about a necklace that I lost.
Yes.
And Cindy is going to try and remake it for me.
Do you have a picture of it?
Oh, I've got it in a lot of pictures.
Oh, yeah. Good.
I got it in a lot of pictures. So yeah, every once in a while I'll see a picture and I go, I never lose anything. So to have lost that, and I, like I just said, you know, it's, oh, you're supposed to lose it. This is a gift. That's from my mother, and I cannot find it anywhere.
Aww.
So I need to get some version of that back to kind of feel like I'm, you know, kind of reclaiming that stuff. So I got to connect with Cindy.
Cindy will do it. I know.
Yeah.
Give it a try.
Yeah. We already are talked about it. So, well, Cindy, again, thank you so, so much for joining us tonight, and keep us updated and let us know about any upcoming shows and things like that. And as always, thank you to our listeners for all your ideas and your likes and your shares and your subscribing and whatever. And our producer says to make sure that you rate our episodes, right?
Yeah, depending on the platform you listen, not everyone actually offers the rating system, but if I think you listen on Spotify, you can rate, and I'm sure there's other ones too. We're on like 15 different platforms, so
I know
I can't keep track of everything.
Somebody said to me, well, where can I find you? And I said, I literally said, just put our name in, we're on every single platform.
Yeah.
Yeah. And only rate us if it's a 5.
Yes, please.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Listen, I don't care what you think of the podcast. Just give us a 5-star rating.
Yeah, exactly. Just go on there. It helps boost it. Yes. So again, and Michelle and Dee, thank you so much for being my friends and co-hosts. And again, thank you to everybody. So have a good night and stay blessed.